Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you? And I'll help you get through the day, or get through the night, or just get through somewhere. Give me your hand. I'll go first. And that way, if there's some kind of hole, I'll fall in it first, and you'll hear my screaming. Okay, be sure to let go of my hand before you hear the scream. Can I get a toot toot? It's the freaking weekend, honey. I'm hot and fresh out the kitchen.
All right, you need to be quiet right now.
But singing helps me get through the day.
But playing the concertina helps get me through the night.
I know, but you can play the concertina tomorrow morning. It'll be there tomorrow.
But whatever gets you through the night is all right.
Well, that may be, yes. But right now, you need to get your sleep.
Oh, but tell me a story first, Uncle Hardy.
Oh, I'd love to tell you a story, nephew. I have just one in mind.
All right.
All right, it's one of my stories.
Oh.
What?
I was hoping you'd tell a real story.
Well, it is a real story. It's just a real story of mine.
Yeah, but...
What? You don't want... Just because it's not published doesn't mean it doesn't have worth. I made up this story. I could publish it myself or something.
Yeah, Vanity Publish.
Still, that Vanity Publish is still... What is Vanity Publishing without Vanity Publishing, right? So, look, it's the same thing.
Yeah, but it's not a book.
Well, what's the difference?
Well, you deprive me of... The disappointment in a couple of decades of seeing a really bad film version of my favorite childhood tale.
Oh, well, there's that. Yes, you're right about that. But this is a goodie, and I think it's going to help you.
How's it going to help me?
Well, it's one of those tales. Well, let me just start it. Well, once upon a time, no, I'm kidding. Do you know the eight immortals, the eight Chinese immortals? Have you heard of them?
Who hasn't?
Exactly, who hasn't? Well, did you know that there are eight Western immortals?
How about that? What a coincidence.
It is a coincidence.
Also that you can't really pronounce the names of the eight Chinese immortals.
I could if I tried. I could. I took a year of Chinese, so I could probably. But that's not the point. The point is I want to give you somebody that you can identify with. And I think maybe historical Chinese characters, maybe not so much.
Not me, but somebody.
Yeah, but I want this story to be for you. You deserve a story. And this is one of those stories that might help you get through life. It helps you identify with different characters. And these different characters have used their quirks, their different abilities to help them navigate life all differently, and that should give you inspiration.
You'd think.
Well, here, I'll just tell you the story.
And they all have different abilities.
Yeah.
And there's eight of them.
Yep.
So they're like superheroes.
They are, but they aren't.
Well, why are they better than the movie superheroes in comic books?
Well, because I tell you why, because these characters belong to you, nephew, not to some big company. I'll tell you what, try to take one of those characters that you identify with in the comic books and drawing it on the wall outside of your business or something, and see how fast you find out that that is not your character. No, these I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you some personalities that can be part of your own mythos. You can use them how you want. They're yours. Nobody's put any price tag on them. They belong to everyone, like the saints.
I think the saints have an owner.
No, there's again is this confusion. I mean, like the regular saints in religion.
Oh, I think they have an owner too.
They might. I don't know. I don't know if they're organized or what's going on with their organization, but I'm going to give you some new characters, and I'm going to tell you the story now, all right, of the immortals.
There's eight.
I'm not going to say eight because I don't want to limit it. You know what I'm saying? Because then you have to say, plus one or something. And Adam 12 plus one or something. I remember it was one of those TV shows back in the day that had to add, like, emergency plus one or something because they added a character. The Three Stooges plus or something. I don't know. right? So this is just going to be called The Immortals.
All right, go.
Well, there's all different immortals. I will start with the very first immortal, and I think she's one of the most interesting, and her name is Mary Popsan.
Mary Poppins?
No, Mary Popsan. And Mary Popsan is very interesting because she can float, and she floats around with her guitar and her soup ladle.
You mean umbrella?
No. You're thinking of somebody different. This is Mary Popsan.
Mary Poppins?
No, that's a movie and all.
But it's so similar.
It's similar because the myth preceded the movie.
I don't believe you.
Well, of course, believe me. There's evidence for it.
What?
The movie. Where do you think that came from? Just think people just grab ideas right out of the blue or something? No, they're all based on something. And Mary Poppins is a not-so-thinly disguised version of the first immortal, Mary Popsan. And they called her that because she pops in on people to help them. She pops in on people to lift their spirits, to guide them. She doesn't change them at all. She just shows them that thing about themselves that they need to nurture, that's going to help guide them through their lives. And the reason this happened is because she had a very unique experience. In her youth, Mary used to walk in the fields near her home, and she'd like to look at the beautiful flowers and the trees. And she'd take these walks. Now, she heard that walking could be hard up these hills. But every day she went, it got easier and easier. Until one day she realized that she was floating. That she wasn't even walking on the ground. That she was floating just above the ground. And that these trips up the hills to see the beautiful flowers and the grasses and the trees and all, they were effortless because she could float there. Ah, she began to float around like this, and people were attracted to her, say, you seem so light. You seem like you're not even tethered to the ground. You can float. Yes, I'm floating free. And I'm bringing my joy to people. She'd play the guitar for them. She'd sing songs to them. And they felt differently around her. So you just make me feel better. I wish you were around all the time. She goes, I don't need to be around all the time. What you need to do is you need to find these things in yourself. And then Mary Popsan can be with you all the time. And so she'd sing these songs. She'd make people stew and all. And that's what she was doing when she was sucked into heaven. That's how you become an immortal. You're doing something normal, like making some soup. That's why she's holding a ladle. She's just making some soup and boom. And she's also, I guess, holding her guitar. Now, why? I can see the scenario. She's playing the guitar. She's like, oh, whoa. I wonder if the soup needs salt. And she goes over and she's got a guitar in one hand, ladle in the other, floats, sucked into heaven. Mary pops in. Mary pops in on you when you need her. She'll float right in.
Oh, I believe you.
Yeah. And she can come in anytime. She spends some time.
She helps you organize your closets or something.
Hey, you know, organizing your closets can make you feel better about yourself a little bit. You say, hey, one of my crazy things is I like to organize stuff, put things together. And you start doing that and you go, wow, that makes me feel good. I can get some height here. I can get a little float in my life by doing these things that are unique to me.
Well, other people can do them too.
So what? But I can too. They don't have to be unique in the world. Just something that I like to do or am good at. It's mainly about liking to do it. If you wait till you're really good at something, if I waited until I was good at playing the guitar, I would never play the guitar. It's about liking to do something. And when you like to do it, you sometimes get good at it because you do it all the time. And so she would do that. She'd play the guitar and she'd show people, listen, do the thing that calls you. Even if you don't do it well, who cares? It's not a competition. You're just one of the immortals. You're just trying to get through.
Do you know any of her songs?
I do know one of her songs. Now, I got to tell you, her songs have secret meanings because not only does she float around like that, but she's also sort of a Taoist.
You want to explain that?
No, I don't. But I will grab my guitar, and I will try to sing you this song that I remember her singing.
Do you need to call first?
I sort of do. Do you mind?
No, go ahead.
I'm going to turn my head and everything.
Go ahead. Feel better?
I do feel a little better. So she wrote this. Now, remember, these words may seem strange to you, but I'll explain their other meaning. So she would sing, Mary Popsan would sing, I rose then everyone rose. I froze. Then everyone froze. Now there's frozen dead roses, and everyone loses. Everyone loses, 'cause everyone froze. I don't care anymore. Nothing here is worth fighting for. I don't care anymore. Nothing here is worth fighting for. I tried, then everyone tried. I lied, then everyone lied. Now we're trying old liars, and everyone's tired. Everyone's tired, 'cause everyone lied. I don't care anymore. Nothing here is worth fighting for. Whoops. I don't care anymore. Nothing here is worth dying for.
That seems bleak.
It's not bleak. See, she's not saying I don't care, like I don't care what happens to everybody else. She's saying, I don't care, like I'm going to be free. I'm going to be myself. I don't care if I play that guitar poorly. I'm going to follow that joy. I don't care if people think I'm silly for floating off the ground like that and floating around with a soup ladle. I don't care, because I care about them more than I care about the that horrible self-conscious prison that I put myself in. Oh, I don't care anymore. There's no bad feeling. I'm not going to die because somebody else thinks I have shortcomings. Ah, no, I'm going to persist. I'm Mary Popsin. I'm the immortal Mary Popsin. Won't you be the immortal Mary Popsin? Find that thing in yourself that you love and go out and share it with others and show them the key to immortality.
Oh, that's very good.
Thank you.
Are there any others?
Oh, yes, there are. There's a fella named Cripple Joe.
Really?
Look, I know. That's his name. I'm sorry. And I tell you, I was told by my great-grandmother, who used to refer to herself as a cripple. She'd say, oh, I can't get to that door. I'm a cripple, you know. And say, it's all right, Granny. We'll bring it to you. All right. And that was his name for himself, say Cripple Joe, but it's very deceptive. Now, Cripple Joe is an interesting guy. Just look like an old guy. You wouldn't look at him twice on the street and say, look at that poor unfortunate there. He'd walk with one of those crutches that has the armband around the forearm. You know what I'm talking about? Not the underarm kind. And he'd walk, and it was magic. It was a magic crutch. I'm not exactly sure all the things that it could do, but I know you could float on it. That was an interesting thing. You could ride on it in water, just like it was a jet ski, except it was a crutch. I guess he didn't need it when he was on water. And the other thing that he would carry with him was a flask, and it was a flask of medicine. Was it really medicine? Oh, it was medicine, just like Granny on the Three Stooges. The Three Stooges. Beverly Hillbillies. Three Stooges, Granny on the Three Stooges. Now I've got that in my head. Now I can see it. This is the scenario I see. I see Larry slaps Curly. And then Moe slaps Larry. And then he looks up with a smug expression of satisfaction on his face. And then Granny slaps him. And he realizes, hey, I am not at the top of the food chain. There's someone else there. There is the immortal Cripple Joe and his wonderful, magical iron crutch, just like Granny and her flask. Providing medicine, healing those. If you just pay attention to him, say, this guy's got nothing. Look, he's just limping around. What is that he's got? What he has is the ability to heal people, to heal their souls. He has something. He may look like he has nothing, and he may have nothing. Nothing. But he does have something to offer. And even though it seems like, say, oh, it's just, what is this medicine? Is it literal? It could be booze. It could be. But you know, even a drink in context can be healing. Say, come over here. Share a glass of this, responsibly share this glass of spirits with me. And it might be just the thing. Say, oh, I'm not doing too good today. Come over here and take a drink of this depressant. No, well, you can't use it alone. That's the thing. You can't just You have to take it. It's like epoxy. You have to mix both tubes. Can't just don't have that drink by yourself. But if it's with Cripple Joe, you automatically start feeling better. And you start talking about his magic crutch and all the things that magic crutch can do. You say, I thought that was that hobbled you. Oh, no, no, no. You'd think it. But in reality, it brings me all this power. I can float on water with it. It's a jet ski. It gets me places. It reminds me who I really am. It reminds me that I am not this body. This body is frail. It may break. I may need extra things like this brace to walk on. But the brace is the magical key to the formula. And that is that what I have to offer is inside of me, and it gets me through my life. And in fact, instead of drowning, I stand on this wonderful crutch, and I say to the world, look what's in my hand, a flask of elixir, something I can heal you with.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
Yep, yep, you just ignore him. Walking down the street, you wouldn't even pay attention to the guy, but imagine he's an immortal that can actually help you.
Yes, that is amazing. I don't know how much of a superhero that is.
Well, how about this one? What if I told you that there was an immortal who was a gender-fluid teen named Kelly, and that they lived by the ocean and would spend their time throwing flowers and things and playing the spoons?
Playing the spoons?
I know, it sounds awful, the spoon part.
You had me up into the spoons.
I know, I know. Look, Kelly is wonderful. And their only shortcoming, I think, was the spoons. The spoons is Kelly being over-exuberant, maybe. But I love the flowers.
Tell me more.
Anyway, if Kelly comes into your life, Kelly can show you freedom. Kelly can show you the freedom to dance on the beach. Oh, wonderful Kelly, stuck as a teen. It's this teen immortal. Can you imagine that, being a teenager forever? And you know Kelly's been around because there's always a pile of dirty clothes. And you think that's so funny. You're making that up. Listen, this one is the closest to their Chinese counterpart there is. There's a real Chinese immortal like this one. This one is such a copy. Our Kelly is a copy of the original one.
What did you just say?
I made a weird cryptic reference to the beginning skit of the show. But I'll tell you what. This is a beautiful immortal to me. And fills me with joy. And that understanding that to really find that immortality and that superpower to get through that life, to be able to have that joy and that freedom to spread flower petals on the shoreline. Oh, you've got to really have the beauty of a Kelly to ascend into heaven like that. And the problem was that Kelly was playing the spoons at the time that they ascended. So there you have it.
These are really weird.
You know, I know they are, but wait till I get to this one. There is one, an immortal named Grandpa John. Grandpa John is so old.
How old is he?
Very, very old. Did you ever see somebody so old? You go, that is a very, 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 very elderly gentleman. I bet they're eligible for a senior discount like a couple times over. I wonder if you get that. If you get one when you hit 55, shouldn't you get double when you hit 110? I think that. I know there's a restaurant in town that gives you the percentage off your bill for your birthday. So if you're going there and you're 50, it's your 50th birthday, you get half off. And I took, just to be a jerk, I took an 80-year-old there. And also to be cheap. I guess is really why I did it. Oh, the super old man. What does he do that's crazy? He rides backwards on a mobility device made of paper. That's how crazy he is. He has ascended to the highest level of heaven. And why is that? Because he's got nothing to lose because he's old. He's old and no one expects anything of him. He's old and feeble and he rides on a personal mobility device. But he does it backwards because Who cares anymore? I don't care anymore, he says. I'm just going to bring people joy. I'm going to help people. I'm going to heal people. I'm riding the wrong way on my paper purple pizzazz jazzy. That's the model. And he does this. And just walking down the street, you'd think, oh, there's just a crazy old man. But you wouldn't think, oh, he's been around for literally tens of thousands of years.
Really?
Yes. You wanted, it was very confusing. Took one of these DNA tests online. I got him to do it. I said, man, you're an immortal. You're like 10,000 years old. You've got to take one of these. I just want to see what it comes back, you know? And he's like, I don't, it's just going to be confusing. And we haven't got it back yet. If you're wondering, he said, what's the results of the immortal ancient ones DNA test? I don't know. He might not even have DNA. It was hard getting enough spit up because I don't really need spit anymore. I'm so old and dry. I'm 10,000 years old. Do you really think I need saliva? I said, I don't know. I don't know where you're from. He goes, what do you mean by that? And he goes, some people spit as an insult or something. You know, I spit on you. Puh. And I said, oh, no, not where I'm from. There is another immortal, and his name is Jethro Tull.
You mean the historic agricultural figure?
No.
You mean Ian Anderson?
No. This Jethro Tull plays the flute.
Ian Anderson?
No.
Yes, Jethro Tull is not the name of the guy.
I know the band Jethro Tull, and I know Ian Anderson plays the flute, and I know it's named after some historical agricultural figure or something. This is none of them. This is a different Jethro Tull. This one preceded all of them, I believe, and he does play the flute.
This is really hard to buy.
The reason I think it's hard to buy is because a lot of these immortals are based on ideas and concepts, all right, in the human mind, and they don't necessarily have what we consider a tangible corollary. I mean, there isn't something real like that, but it's real enough. Do you understand? There's angels that represent things that aren't tangible. Can you understand that? There's an angel of fear, and there's an angel of love, but you don't see fear and love walking around, do you?
Well,
I don't know, man. Don't try to answer these questions. But Jethro Tull plays the flute, and he brings this joy of music and this abandon to everyone he meets and say, look at that. I'm compelled. I'm following him just like he's the Pied Piper of Hamelin is in Brunswick. Brunswick is in Germany long ago. Yes, there's an Al Boley song called Pied Piper of Hamelin. That's what I'm thinking about right now. But really, he was like that too. You'd want to follow him around. You know, I'm sure people followed Jethro Tull around the band. Like, so I'm going to follow them around. This is just like that, except this is an individual playing the flute saying, listen, lose yourself. You got to lose yourself in the music the moment you do it. You better never let it go. You only got one shot, says he. And he's right. Talks like a pirate a bit. He said, this is my thing. Am I the best flautist? No.
These don't seem like superpowers.
Listen, they're subtle superpowers. If you have something like playing the flute poorly, and that helps you to get through your life with a little less suffering, how is that not a superpower? What do you need in life? I mean, really, what do you need exactly? Riches?
It'd be nice. Would it, though?
Even with the riches, you're confronting the same problems.
Though, are you though?
No, not all of them. But I'll tell you, one of them, mortality, it strikes the same way. People don't, you know, dying as you're dead, right? So we're all mortal. So the fact that these people are immortal, that tells you something. It tells you about doing something with time. It tells you how to find eternity in the moments.
Tell me another one of these guys.
Well, they're not all guys.
A lot of them sound like they are.
Some are, some aren't. What about, here's one that's not. A lot of times, this is strange, but have you heard of Professor Chronotis?
Yes, Douglas Adams.
Right. Well, first of all, a couple things wrong with that. That's based on a real immortal. and who's this just badass professor.
What'd you just say?
Professor.
No, the other thing.
Associate professor? Forget it. That's what I meant. Bad associate professor.
Or assistant professor.
Exactly. We're on the same page now, aren't we?
I wish there were a page, then it'd be a real book.
I know, it's not one.
And maybe the author could have signed it.
I know.
Or maybe there's blank pages in the back that say notes.
I know, that'd be wonderful. But there isn't. This one's just coming out of my heart. I mean, these are real stories. I've heard them. They've been passed down to me. Professor Chronotis is a real person, but she's a woman. First of all, I don't know how that got twisted around. She's old, and she dresses in suits. So maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. But she's amazing. And it's not just her knowledge. I mean, a lot of people find her dry, the professor dry and everything. But in fact, she can sword fight, and she invented the personal fan.
Really?
Yeah, you know that little thing? It's electric. She invented that thousands of years ago, before it was even practical. It had someone found the design in a cave and finally did a modern version. But she's been going around doing things like this for years, inventing little things, helping people in small ways or big ways, because she's also an adventurer. Yes. This is a woman who is a professor who is an expert on time and all things, and she's also a mighty warrior. Now, if this can't inspire you, here's your superhero. You can base a whole religion on her. Oh, she's amazing. Professor Chronotis. Douglas Adams got it wrong. It's a little old man. And I want to apologize to her because to me, I don't know, she's still so stylish. She's so stylish and classy looking to me. Beautiful silver hair and just these eyes that look right into you and say, you can do this too. Not as well as me, but you can do it too. That's what she says. And I believe you. Oh, you're so, she's fair and she's just and she's mighty. And all children should look up to her, Professor Chronotis.
That is a good one. Give me one that I can identify with.
How about, Falstaff.
From Shakespeare?
Well, this preceding Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm. So Falstaff. From Henry.
No. You got it right the first time. From Shakespeare.
I mean the Henry plays.
Oh, I thought you meant Henry the comic. Because there's no Falstaff in that. It's just a bald little boy fishing for boots. Oh, my goodness. But you're thinking about the other Henrys. Oh, if that were only Henry. If only King Henry, Prince Hal, was silent like that. So I'm silent. Where you going, says Falstaff. Nothing, says Prince Hal. But this Falstaff is a little like the Shakespeare's Falstaff, in that he has a position in heaven. I believe he's a knight, or I think he's actually, in this case, the prince's uncle. So it's a little different than the dramatic Falstaff, but he has pull in heaven. That's the thing with him. You're chatting him up, and he says, you know what? I could help you out. I can make that ticket disappear. And he uses his influence. He uses his power, what power he has to help others. A lot of these immortals started as bureaucrats. They started taking the official tests. They say, I guess I'm just going to work for the state. I'm used to this coming up in Tallahassee. People say, what are you going to do with your life? I guess I'll work for the state. All right, good for you. And, take the exam. And this is exactly like ancient China. People, and if you ever get that question, how is Tallahassee like ancient China? Well, it's not so much that anymore, because there's no jobs for anyone like ancient China. This happened there too. Did it? I don't know. I don't remember. Let me go check. Yep. So that was fast. I know it was. I'm like that. I can travel through time. I don't choose to do it all the time because it makes me a little dyspeptic. So we were speaking about Falstaff. Now, he is this robust guy. He's very blustery, but he'll do you favors. He'll grant you favors. And isn't that wonderful? Even if somebody's granting you favors because it makes them feel good about themselves, that's okay, too. That's how he got to be immortal. He ended up doing so much good just for his own personal gratification that he did tons of good. I like to go volunteer because it makes me feel good. Good! because it makes me feel special and important and puffed up. That's fine, actually. That's fine. If you want to go help people, and because it makes you feel puffed up and makes you feel important, go and do it. We'll work on the attitude later. That's beautiful. Just go and do it. Don't worry about where you are and everything. I just jump into things. Things are, I don't know that I'm in the mood to do this. Here we go. I guess I always figure the mood will catch up to me. Right? And it usually does. Oh, Falstaff, please put in a good word with the king for me. You and I have had some drinks together. I know that it'll make you feel better. It'll make me feel better. Everyone gets lifted up when the immortal Falstaff helps them. Everyone will be... You'll be better than Henry. You'll be better than Henry. You'll be lifted up. And you will not have to your enemy's infant spitted upon planks or whatever. I don't know what the line is. Name some other ones. I don't know. I'm running out of immortals. I'm going to run out of immortals before I run out of time. And do we really want to do that? I don't know. Go for it. All right. Well, there's an immortal who is Colonel Bumps. So far, I love him. Colonel Bumps is wonderful. Now, you might recognize Colonel Bumps. He is a slightly older guy, and he wears a short-sleeved shirt unbuttoned and has an enormous belly. So he wears that. I say, oh, wow, that's a big belly to wear that shirt unbuttoned. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. He's an affable guy. I believe, and he's retired military, and I believe he lives in the Keys. And he has this fan. A fan, really? Yeah, because you know why? Because Colonel Bumps would rather be cool than look cool. He would rather be cool than look cool. He knows he doesn't look so hot with his shirt open, but he's got this big belly. It makes him sweat. He's got a fan because he lives in the Keys, and he's heavy, and he already served his time. Now he just wants to relax and help people. And so, don't judge him when you see him. Say, Colonel Bumps may help me. Say, hey, Colonel Bumps, thank you for your service. He said, I didn't bring you your iced tea yet. And I went, oh, your military service. He goes, oh, I totally forgot about that, but you're welcome. That was such a long time ago, literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old ago. I don't even remember who I was fighting for. Don't you? Nope, don't. But I remember I was a colonel. I'm very proud of that. Well, how'd you become a colonel? I took an exam. Oh, that's fantastic. And now he sits there. I don't know if you know, but I'm fanning myself compulsively here. I don't need to, and there's no fan in my hand, so I don't know if people were just, that doesn't look good. I know you can't see anything.
I can.
I know, but you're supposed to have your eyes closed.
Tell me more about Colonel Bumps.
I will in a minute.
Does he have some kind of power?
You'd have to talk to him to find out. First of all, he's immortal. He's been around a long time, and he's got a big belly. He's got his shirt unbuttoned. He's fanning himself, and he lives in the Keys.
Yeah?
Do you see the connection?
No.
He's free. He's saying, like I said, I'd rather be cool than look cool. And he helps you feel better and more comfortable with yourself. You sit with him for a minute, and you go, you know what? I think there are things about me I like. I like me. I have some things that I didn't think were strengths that are unique to me. Maybe they're just idiosyncrasies. I've never thought of them as powers before. I've never thought of them as being able to help any before. I can't levitate objects. I can't, but maybe I can heal people in ways that are not detectable.
I like where you're going.
Where's that?
Out of my room.
Oh, come on, nephew. You're kidding me.
No, stay and finish.
I will. I have to. I actually have to finish. I think I'm somehow obligated.
You are. You're obligated to me.
I am obligated to you. I said I would tell you the story of these immortals, and I shall. One day they decided to cross the sea.
You mean make it angry?
No, not make it angry. I mean they were in heaven. They're hanging out. Now, they're hanging out in heaven, if you can imagine all of them just sitting around. All right? Mary pops in. She's floating around just a few inches off the ground, and she's playing her guitar, and Falstaff, he's sitting there, he's having a beer, he's sitting there in a chair, and he's rambling on and showing everybody his credentials, and Crippled Joe is sitting with his crutch, and he's passing around the flask, and there is Kelly. Kelly's throwing flowers on everybody and showing everybody a new sort of, I don't know, it's a frock that they made or something. I don't know what, it's a beautiful, it's some sort of cosplay thing, and I don't know what it's supposed to be, but Kelly does a great job at that. Hey, there's Professor Chronotis, and she's telling stories about her adventures, and she's showing somebody how to use this sword. Oh, look at you, sword fighting there, Professor Chronotis, you're so impressive. Who's that? Who's that with the flute? What are they doing? Oh, they're cleaning all the spit out of their flute. It's Jethro Tull, ladies and gentlemen. Here comes Grandpa John, tooling around heaven, backwards on his paper mobility device. Colonel Bump's fanning himself, and they're sitting around like that, like on a cloud, like in Family Circus, saying, what should we do today? And I don't know, but the Kingdom of Heaven is also a slight bureaucracy. People tend towards it. They can't help themselves. They got to organize, and they got to do paperwork, and they got to have meetings. And these meetings persist into eternity. Even after all the souls have left their body, they're still attracted together. They're attracted around these tables. They're attracted around celestial campfires. And they sit around there, and they go, okay, we're going to have a meeting. And most people, that's the thing. It's the tyranny of the minority, because most people are rolling their eyes and saying, do we really need to meet? I mean, we're in the afterlife. I think we have telepathy even. Do we really need to physically be here like this? I am now immortal. I'm floating around the afterlife. And there's meetings? Really? Yes, I'm afraid there are. And why? Because there's things to talk about, even in paradise. There's a tree with peaches that make you immortal. And people are always trying to sneak up and get them. And it's a problem that has to be dealt with. Now, if we don't have a meeting and discuss, like, who's going to be in charge of the security of the peaches, then we have problems. Do you see? So that's the way heaven operates. So our heroes are all sitting up there, and they've got a meeting to go to. None of them want to go to it. And, you know, I think the first one to say something is Falstaff. He says, you know, I'm too important to go to this celestial meeting. I've got work to do. I've got to meet with important people. And I really don't. I should be exempt from some of these rules. They should know that my work is more important. And they all laugh. Colonel Bump says, so is mine. I got to fan my left hiney today, I think. Is my work. So, yes, I also will be doing important work, Falstaff. Be quiet with you, Colonel Bumps. This went on for a while until Professor Chronotis, who was the de facto leader, says, we should explore the sea. You know, we haven't gone to the great dismal depths of the sea, to the great abyss, to see perhaps if there's anybody there who might need our help, like a very sad shrimp or something living in a heat vent. Why would we forget? And Kelly says, yes, why ignore the shrimp in the heat vents? Let's go down to the sea. Now, we don't have much experience on the sea. Does everyone have something that they can float on? And then they all thought about it. They had something they could float on. You know, Mary pops in and said, I can float on something. I'll float on my soup ladle. I can float anyway, but I don't know if it works on water. Falstaff says, yes, I shall float on my credentials. I have this pad. It gets me into the rest of the kingdom. I will float on my crutch, says Cripple Joe. Kelly says, I will float on either these spoons, or I feel like I could something else I should float on. Well, we're on like a pile of dirty laundry. All right. So Jethro Tull floated on his flute. Grandpa on his paper mobility device. And Colonel Bumps on his fan. And so they all descended to the ocean. And they all surfed on it for a while. And they all, I feel like Colonel Bumps did the best on his fan because he was using it like a boogie board. And if you've ever seen a corpulent immortal riding a boogie board near the shore, oh, it's a wonderful thing. Kelly said, I'm going to just step onto the shore and throw some flowers. I have to. I can't be this close to the seashore and not toss some flower petals on people and brings them joy. And you'll notice to this day, if you go to the beach, you think, why am I feel this? There's something transcendent about this. There's a freedom here that I just don't, I can't, the sum of the parts is more than the parts would be if you took them total separately and then sum them. Now, hang on. The total of the sum, the greater, how does that work? How is the sum greater than the sum of its parts? So 2 plus 2 is 4, but in this case, it's like 8. And you go, how did 2 plus 2 get to be 8? And I'll tell you why. Because there's an invisible 4 in the formula, and that's Kelly, or another immortal. There's always something. There's a factor that you can't see, and then you can add it to someone's equation and increase the outcome. And they may never... I'm choking on my drama.
Are you all right?
I am. I am. I got very dramatic. And then there was a spit ambush. And I was about to say something very beautiful and quiet and delicate and prayer-like. And then excess of saliva. What are you going to do? I guess there's demons too. Spit demon. That came from somebody. I saw somebody was trying to spit and couldn't. Oh, I know it was you. It was you, Grandpa John. Maybe that was some of your spit from earlier. How did it get? Ugh, I don't know. Listen, all of them are inside of me, so there's no reason that that shouldn't be inside of me, too. Oh, I don't contain multitudes. I contain 8. I contain 8, and they don't all do anything. Some of them just sit around being themselves, and that's enough. How is being your true self? What is your true self? I don't know if you'll ever find it, but I would do this. Cast away the false ones. They're easier to find. There may be no true self, I gotta tell you. But peel things away anyway. Say, oh, I'm not gonna worry about this. I'm gonna wear this as a mask. I'm not gonna stop being this. I'm just gonna wear this and be free. Oh, I feel free when I'm with you, friend, because you're not holding me to any standards or anything.
I am, though.
I know, but you're being polite enough not to say anything. Are you enjoying the story?
Yes.
What's the problem?
Well, if you were reading, I think it'd be slightly more cogent.
It would, but it wouldn't always be what I wanted to say to you. Do you understand? I'm reading something. I'd be reading someone else's thoughts. Why wouldn't they just be here? I'm not going to sit here, my nephew, by your bedside and read the thoughts of somebody else who doesn't even know you, doesn't know what you need. They don't know what you need. Why would you want a birthday present from a stranger? They may give you something you have no desire for. If I got a birthday present from a stranger, it might be a comb. And if it was a comb, I would have no use for it because I don't need a comb because I have no hair. Sometimes I comb my beard, but right now it's even too short to comb. Why would I want that when you might give me something I can use?
Singing lessons?
Exactly. Singing lessons. Oh, nephew, you crazy. I love the little barbs. The thing about barbs is that they go in real easy. And then just getting them out, I guess that's your problem. I'm going to barb you, and then I'll walk away, and then you try to get the fish hook or the arrow out of your skin. Oh, you know what they did, though? I'm wearing a fat suit, and so it didn't even go in me. I'm inside. I'm protected. Even if I wasn't protected, I'd be protected because I'm free. Because, oh, I don't care. I care and I don't care. I care about you. But I don't care in the sense that people in Kentucky say it. Like, I don't mind. And that took me a long time to get used to when I moved to Kentucky, that I don't care to means I don't mind if you do. I don't care to help you. I don't mind. And I thought for the longest time, I know you've all had that experience if you've come here and you've heard that expression. You go, what are you saying? But it means something different here. And it's really the intent that matters. If I was to judge somebody by those exact words, I'd get all mad. But in fact, they said just the opposite of what they thought they said. I don't care sometimes means I don't mind. I don't mind if you laugh at me. I don't mind if you ridicule me. I don't mind if you think I'm stupid. I don't mind if you think I'm silly. I don't mind if you think my big fat belly is ugly. I gotta be me. I gotta air out my belly. I gotta be myself. I don't mind. I don't mind. You know why? Because I care. I don't mind because I care. I care about what happens. I do. I recognize pain. I felt it. I don't want it anymore. I want the immortals to come and give us something to identify with instead of trying to identify things that we can't possibly be. Oh, I can't possibly be that on Earth. I can't possibly be you, mighty rich celebrity. That isn't me. Oh, no, I'm not like you. I need somebody's like me. I need some old man, or I need some crazy teenager, or I need some washed-up uncle. That's what I need. I need some cripple. I need somebody in distress. Oh, those are my people. Those are my immortals and my superheroes. All of those who would be cast out. They are the ones that ultimately heal my heart. They have gifts and powers that are greater than any movie Superman. Oh, my friend, what you think is lowly is not lowly always, except for Lowly Worm, the character from the Richard Scarry books. And he's not lowly either, because when you're down to his level, he is mighty. The Lowly Worm is the Mighty Worm, if you are a tardigrade or something, I suppose. It's about perspective. Oh, I'm so glad to be telling you a story, nephew. Are you asleep yet?
Of course not, because you won't shut up.
But now, that's interesting, because I have been told by some that the sound of my words is almost like music.
That boring classical music.
Are you saying classical music is boring?
I'm saying some is.
All right.
Not all of it.
I know.
But it puts you to sleep some. Even good classical music can put you to sleep.
That is true. So, but I've been told that sometimes my voice can lull people to sleep. They got to wake up the next day and will not listen to it again, but wonder. And I've thought about that. So am I helping you go to sleep at least? Is that okay too? Yes. What if I'm giving you something? I'm going to give this person the sermon on tape. My preacher, I know you're in trouble. And my preacher had preached a sermon that I think is going to help you out. It's about car payments.
All right.
So I know you just listened to it and it helped me out.
All right. So I've been not being able to sleep because of car payments, and so you gave me this tape, and I put it on, and it's your preacher preaching a sermon about car payments, and it put me to sleep. And it's the first time in months I've been able to sleep. First time in months, because I've been so worried about money and car payments at all. So it worked. Your preacher's sermon worked. It just didn't work the way you intended. Is that all right?
You have healed my heart. You just didn't do it in the way you thought you were going to do it. Is that all right?
Sure, I guess.
Yes, of course it is. Of course it is. If you give me a floppy disk and I use it as a coaster, this is an 80s thing, or 90s or whatever they have floppy disks, that's fine too. That's what I need. All the gift you give may work regardless whether you think it's going to or not. So I have this thing to give. I'm not sure people need it. That's because you might get the purpose wrong. You might be not anticipating what it is. Sometimes love is enough. You know why? Why is love enough of a gift? Imagine this. We all, when we grow up, have someone model love for us or think we are loved or supposed to be loved. What if an angry, tortured person is providing that love and is the only source of that love, and so you grow up thinking that anger is love, or that torture is love, or that this person that resents you is actually loving you, and that's your idea of what it is. Oh, how damaging that can be. Imagine that in the hearts of millions. Imagine that you mistake resentment for love or something like that. You've never had it in its pure form. You think you have, and you go on. You interact with the world like that.
Oh, what if you were to give that person real love? Love is like cheese. You can go your whole life thinking something really awful is cheese, and then you have the real thing. Or chocolate. You've been eating wax, and someone's telling you it's chocolate. And you've been going around giving people wax, telling them it's chocolate. Until there's so much of that, that people can't tell the difference anymore. Then you have real chocolate. Someone gives you real chocolate. And you think, what were we talking about? I don't even remember anymore. The real chocolate has erased all the problems. I think love, something like that. I think maybe we're speaking in analogies or something like that. I don't even remember. But I know this. If you can go give somebody love, what if it's the first time they've had it? The pure thing. So I'm just giving it. I don't even expect anything in return, you know, because I've got so much of it, I can give it away. Oh, you don't need to be special for me to accept you. I'll look right at you. You don't need to be. I've already seen past that. I'm not impressed by wealth. I'm not impressed by accomplishment. I'm not impressed by that anymore. Why? I don't know. Because someone gave me something. Because one of these immortals that looks like nothing. Because I found the greatest gift from somebody who looked like they couldn't give anything. And now I look everywhere for that. And I see through all this embellishment. And now I can see all the hearts the same. Oh, but you just said we were unique. You are. But they're eight immortals. There's that, right? It's like genus and species and everything like that. There's concentric circles of uniqueness. You know, as a human being, you're unique from zebras, but not from other human beings. You see what I'm saying? But then you can get more specific, and you as an individual, oh, there you stand alone. There you're alone. There you are, a unique character. You're not one of the eight, you're one of the 8 billion, 8 trillion, but still you get to be in it. Oh, my friends, I'm reaching out there in case that you're reaching out. I'm reaching out in the dark like that. I don't know what's in the crevasse. I'm reaching into the grass. It's scary. Okay? I am in the dark, and I'm sticking my hands into a crack in the ground. I don't know what's in there. Could be a demon. Could be something. I'm afraid. I'm very afraid, my friends. But you know what? What if there's a hand reaching up? What if you're barely hanging onto a branch in that crevasse, and then you feel my hand touch your hand, and you have something to grab hold of? I can bring you out of that. Right? It's worth it. It's worth me leaning into it with both hands. And just waving them around, saying, is anybody there? Grab my hand if you need it. Grab my hand if you need it. I'll pull you up. I don't know. To be honest, I don't know where I am because I'm in the dark too. But we'll be together. We'll be together. I may not be pouring pity popping. I'm just going to speak in tongues for a minute. I may not be pulling you towards anything, but I'm pulling you towards me. And we can be together for a little while. Okay, now I have somewhere to be and I got to go. Thank you. You can stay here. You can jump back into the crevasse. Don't though. Oh, my friends, I'm sticking out my arm to you. Oh, the outstretched arm. It's in the Bible a lot. You'll see the expression, the outstretched arm. The outstretched arm grabs Moses. You got to reach out your arm to grab a baby floating by. Sometimes there's babies floating by in the air. There's mystical, invisible babies. They're tiny. Reach out your arm. But if you're alone, don't do it in a crowd because people will totally get the wrong impression. Don't do it driving. But reach up one of your hands into the air. Just reach up, say, I'm going to grab there might be a baby floating by. I'm just going to reach up and grab. And what if I grab hold of a magical baby that needs my help? Now I'm going to hold that magical baby to my chest. And say, I'll take care of you. Just like that. And that's how you take care of yourself. You imagine that you've just grabbed your floating baby self out of the sky. What are you talking about? I don't know. I thought maybe I could help you and make fun of helping at the same time. And that way it's all not too serious. Right? I mean, what do we do? If I was a doctor, I'd do that too. It's like, how ridiculous is me shooting you in the thigh with this liquidy thing? Isn't this weird? right? We don't have to. Is attitude some of it with the healing, though? I've never gotten it from doctors. They've never healed me with their attitude. They make me nervous with their attitude. I wish they were more like understood my fear a little better, but that doesn't seem to be. They just sort of looking at me like, okay, we'll fix what's wrong. Don't just fix what's wrong. Tell me what you like about my old car that barely runs. Tell me what's good about it, too. That's what I need to hear. You know, I know the engine's old and weak. Tell me something like, they don't make this type of leather seat anymore.
Oh, really? Yes, it's very desirable.
Is it?
Yes, if you like worn leather seats.
Some of us do, some of us don't. It depends on, I guess it depends on your age sometimes.
Oh, that we're able to be together never stops being a miracle to me. That I'm able to tell you a bedtime story and not live in the same house as you is amazing to me.
But we're together.
Shh, I'm talking to the people.
But you're talking to me.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, come on now, focus on me. You don't know who those people are?
I know.
I'm right in front of you.
I understand that.
You would rather it be like, you would rather thousands of strangers to help than one person that you know who they are.
Yeah, but you're right.
Yeah, I know I'm right. Help me.
Okay. How?
Well, read me a book that's been published.
All right. I will do that. I'll get a story. There's a bunch here. I'll do it. Let me say goodbye to everybody first.
All right. Then maybe, I don't know, not something dated.
All right.
No Kipling.
No, I wouldn't do that. Why would I do that?
I'm just saying.
I know, but you don't have to say it. You don't have to say it. Why would I even, I would not do that to you.
I'm just saying.
I know. Never mind. Can we talk later? Let me just say goodbye to everybody. It'll take like 2 seconds.
Go on.
My friends, it's so wonderful to have you in my life. And I hope that you don't mind that I sing songs incorrectly or that I goof up or that when I'm trying to help, I don't always make any sense. And maybe I don't always make sense on purpose. And maybe I don't make sense on purpose so I don't tell you something that's wrong. You know what I mean? I want to hand you something that doesn't really work so you can't hurt yourself with it. That's what I want to do. I'll make sure I've taken the... Here's a bow and arrow. Oh, wonderful. The tip of the arrow is a ping pong ball. Well, that's useless. Is it, though? Yes. All right. But I do that anyway. I don't want to be responsible for you putting your eye out with anything that I say, figuratively. But I will say this, that I believe that if you are not miserable and in pain, and if you are not suffering, then my suffering will also be eliminated, that we are connected inexorably, and that... we all have something to contribute. And if we find out put that together, sometimes it's very common. Sometimes it won't be unique to you. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's just showing up. So do you have two hands at work? Yes. Well, not everyone does. So if you have two hands at work, it doesn't matter if you're funny. There's a lot that you can do. And so even if you don't, you might have something else, the smallest thing. Oh, just your face, just being there. Showing up. My friends, I want to thank you for joining me again for another hour of Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I am Hardy White, and you are listening to this on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City, New York, and in Rockland County, New York, and worldwide online at WFMU.org. Thank you again for joining me. You are the reason I get up a couple mornings out of the week to do the show, and then the rest I depress sleep. No, that's not true. No, I try to get up regardless. Get out of that. get out of my pajamas and hit the day because I know that there's love out there. I'll see you again next week.